Okay, good evening. It's the Shir on the Ramban. We'll do Parshas Matos tonight and Be'ezus Hashem Parshas Maseh tomorrow night. It's a little bit of an experiment in terms of the forum. Hopefully the voice comes through the mask. Okay, sounds good. So we'll try to present the Shir. There's an important Ramban, which is the Ramban to Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chav Gimel, in Parshas Matos and Sefer Bamidbar, where the Ramban gets involved in discussing various issues that have certainly relevance, if not halacha l'maisa, certainly in terms of halacha as it applied once upon a time. The context in which this Ramban is discussing is the aftermath of the war against Midian. We know in the beginning of Parshas Matos, the Jews are told that they should go and fight against the Midianim to take revenge for that which the Midianim did when the Jews were in Shittim. They conspired to send the daughters of Moab to seduce the Jewish people and to get them not only to engage in acts of immorality, but also to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, to worship Avodah Zarah. The Jews go out, they fight against the Midianim, they bring back many clay seuda, they bring back many kitchen utensils, pots, pans, spatulas, forks, steak knives, whatever else they bring back from the war against Midian. And the Torah describes how those kalim, how those vessels are supposed to be prepared so that they can be used by the Jewish people. The halachas of kashrus are presented. And then the pasuk says that these kalim, which have been conquered from the Midianim, ach b'meinida yischata. In addition to everything else, they have to be purified through mei nida, through the waters that would purify a nida. What does that mean? So the Ramban quotes a Sifri, where the Sifri says that this is a reference to the notion of tevilas kelim. This is a reference to the idea that when you acquire a kitchen utensil from a non-Jew, that it has to be toiveled in a mikvah prior to using it. How do you get that out of the pasuk? The water, the mei nida, what's water which purifies a nida? That's the waters of a mikvah. Yischata means it should be purified. So you have to first purify this vessel, the mei nida, in mikvah waters, before one is able to use it. So the Ramban quotes this from the Sifri. And then he says the following. Belibi maharher od. However, I have a feeling in my heart, a very interesting lashon. Libi maharher od. I have this feeling in my heart, lomar, shahatvila hazo midivreya. That this requirement to tovel kalim before using them is midivreya, is only midirabanon. V'hamikra asmachta osu oso. And when Chazal quote the pasuk ach b'meinido yischata as being the source for tvilas kelim, that's an asmachta. What's an asmachta? So, general terms, an asmachta means when Chazal quote a pasuk for what's really a din derabanan, for what's really a rabbinic law. They're quoting a pasuk; it gives you the impression that it's a daraisa, but in point of fact, it's really a derabanan. So machlokas, the Rambam and the Ritva. The Ritva is at the end of Rosh Hashanah. How to understand how that works. The Rambam holds that the din is entirely midirabanan, and it's just that the pasuk was a convenient memory tactic that Chazal employed in order to enable us to remember the din derabanan. And the Ritva argues, he's very upset at the notion that you could just take a pasuk and use it for a din derabanan as a memory technique. So the Ritva says what the asmachta means is that the Torah revealed this basic idea through the pasuk. It did not make it into law. And Chazal came along and they took the hint of the pasuk and they translated it into actual halacha. Be that as it may, there's this phenomena that you can have a din derabanan where a pasuk is quoted as an asmachta. So that's the Ramban says. He thinks that the whole din of tvilas kelim is a derabanan. It's not a daraisa. Chazal quote a pasuk. Okay, Chazal quote psukim for many things which are dinim derabanan. Says the Ramban, v'chein unkulus metargim oso. If you take a look at the targum unkulus on this pasuk, The Targum Unculus supports the idea that Tvilas Kelim is only b'derabbanan, because the Unculus explains that it's b'chitui hazah shel efer parah. That the reference in the pasuk has nothing to do with toveling the kelim in a mikvah. Rather, it's about sprinkling mechatos. It's about sprinkling the ashes of the parah aduma mixed with water onto these kelim. In other words, if the kelim came into contact with a dead body, that's what's being described over here, right? The lashon in the targum, the translation of Achamei Nido Yischato is Biram B'me'ado Yuso Yitideh. It should be sprinkled with the waters of sprinkling of purification. Continues the Ramban, V'itzvichu Osa B'klei HaMatochos B'levod, V'nei She'yesh Bo'em Keilu Shetashmishim Bo'or V'kli Rishon V'kli Sheinu V'Tzonen. Chazal only obligated us to immerse metal kelim that are acquired from a non-Jew. Why? Because metal kelim have the greatest degree of usage. They're sometimes used as pots, they're sometimes used as first vessels, as secondary vessels, they're sometimes used as cold vessels. So since the greatest usage is derived from metal kelim, that's why the Chazal, when they created this Din D'Rabbanan of Tvilas Kelim, limited it to metal kelim alone. That's the Ramban Shita, based on his understanding that, based on the Unculus, really, it's an interesting example, where the Targum Unculus is teaching us a halacha, right? So the Ramban's understanding, based on the Targum Unculus, is that the whole din of Tvilas Kelim is a din de Rabbanon. There's an ambiguity over here when it comes to the Shita of the Rambam, and I just want to talk about that a little bit. The Rambam says something about this issue, whether Tfilas Kalim is the Arais or the Rabbanon, and it's unclear what he means. The Rambam writes in the 17th parak of Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Halacha Hey, Tevilo Zo Shematbilin Klei Hasuda, Hanil Kochim in Agoyim, Viachakach Yutru Lachila Ushasiyo. This immersion that we take vessels that are kitchen vessels that were acquired from non-Jews, and we have to first immerse them in a mikvah before we can use them to eat or drink out of. It has nothing to do with issues of purity and impurity. Says the Rambam, the entire source of this idea is midivrei sofrim. Midivrei sofrim, usually you translate as it comes from the rabbis. Then he continues, v'remezlo, a hint to this idea in the pasuk is kol davar asher yavo bo'esh taviru bo'esh v'toher. Right, he quotes this pasuk, u'mipi hashmua lamdu, and mipi hashmua tradition teaches us she'eino medaber el b'taharasa midei giulei goyim lo midei tuma, and tradition teaches us that what this whole pasuk is discussing, it's not purifying the kelim from tuma v'tara, from tuma, but rather purifying the kelim from the absorptions of non-kosher food which were absorbed into them. So the Rambam uses two terminologies over here. He first says midivrei sofrim, then he says mipi hashmua lamdu. Mipi hashmua lamdu is the kind of language that we usually would be associated with a daraisa. In other words, not something that's explicit in the Torah, but something which is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Something which is an oral tradition, which was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu to Har Sinai, but certainly has the status of a din daraisa. So the later Rishonim argue as to what the Rambam means over here exactly. The Ran quotes the Rambam to say that, you see, just like the Ramban, the Ran was a Talmud of the Ramban, the Ran says, you see, just like the Ramban, the Rambam holds that Tvilas Kelim is a Derabbanan. The Rashba quotes the Rambam as saying that Tvilas Kelim is a Daraisa. So which one is it? It's the same Rambam. So comes the Lecha Mishnah over here in his comments on the Rambam. And the Lecha Mishnah says that he believes the Rambam holds that Tvilas Kelim is Daraisa. And it's that language of Mipi Hashmu Alamdu. That language that mipi hashmua lamdu, that describes how there was an oral tradition that was passed down by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to the Jewish people, that's the language that indicates Daraisa. The Rambam uses the language of Midivrei Sofrim. So here you get involved in a much bigger issue that pertains to other passages in the Rambam as well. It's not clear that when the Rambam says something is Midivrei Sofrim, that he necessarily means that it's Dirabbanan in the sense in which you and I would use that term. It would seem, in many cases, that when the Rambam says something is Midivrei Sofrim, he means that it's part of Torah Sheba'al Peh, as opposed to being something which is Torah Shebiksav. It's learned out from one of the Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes Bohem. It's learned out from one of the principles of exegesis, which we talk about in the morning, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Vishloshes Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes. So it's part of Torah Shebaal Peh, but it's not part of Torah Shebiksav, but it's certainly a Daraisa. In other words, Midivrei Sofrim, the rabbis using the tools of interpretation taught us this din, which is Daraisa of Torah Shebaal Peh. To take another famous example, or an example that's going to be famous after we talk about it in the next couple of minutes, to take another famous example, the Rambam writes that Kiddushei Kesef, the notion that when I want to marry a woman, I can give her either money or the monetary equivalent of money, the Rambam says that works Midivrei Sofrim. That works Midivrei Sofrim? You're telling me that under every chuppah, when the chosen gives the kala a ring, that only works midirabbanan? What he's saying to her is, Hareat mekudesh esli b'tabas zo, midirabbanan? You're my derabbanan dika wife? Not my deraisa dika wife? Is that what we're saying? Seems very strange. So, many mafarshim explain what the Rambam means, that it's Midivrei Sofrim doesn't mean that it's not Daraisa. It is Daraisa, but it's a Daraisa which is learned out from a Gzeira Shava, from a Hekesh. The Pasuk in the Gemara in Kiddushin says that we learn out that I can use Kesef to be Mekadesh and Isha, to betroth the woman, the same way that we find that Kesef was the article which brought about the sale of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Kesef, you know, Kicho, Kicho, Mr. Ephron. We learn out through that Gzeira Shava that Kesef works for Kiddushin. So the Rambam also describes that as Midivrei Sofrim. So we see in the Rambam that Midivrei Sofrim doesn't necessarily mean that something is Derabon, and it could mean that something's Derais. Okay, so we're putting the Ramban in that context. The Ramban clearly says, Ramban clearly means, that Tfilas Kalim is Midrabanon. The Rambam is somewhat more ambiguous in terms of his position. Then the Rambam goes on to discuss another issue. V'hizir osam ata b'hag'olas klei midyon me'isuri hagoyim v'la'omar lohem ze b'tchila b'klei sichon v'og shilokhu gam shlolam k'mo sh'omar rak ha'behema bozaznu lonu u'shlal he'orim asher lochodnu. Yes, the Ramban, isn't it interesting that the Torah only discusses kashering and perhaps tovaling the kalim that were conquered in the war against Midian, and there's no discussion about kashering or tovaling the kalim that were conquered when the Jews fought against Sichon and Og? Right? The Jews fought against Sichon and Og, the two kings of the Amori at the end of Parshas Chukas. It says in the Pasuk that they took spoils from those wars. So they conquered all of the, they took as spoils all of the kalim, all of the pots and the pans and the vessels of the Shnei Malchei HaEmori, of these two Amorite kings, Sichon and Og. What did they do with them? How come they didn't kasher them? How come there's no discussion about tovaling them or anything like that? How come we have to wait to the later war against Midian for that whole discussion? So says the Ramban as follows. Batam, ki Sichon ve'og malchei ho'emorihem. The distinction is as follows. Sichon and Og were Emori kings. In other words, they were Kna'anim. Ba'artso minachlos Yisrael hi. And their land, the land of the Eiver HaYarden, was the rightful possession of the Jewish people. When Klal Yisrael fought against Sichon and Og, they were engaged in a melchama, they were engaged in a war of kibush Eretz Yisrael, of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, v'hutar lohem kol shlolom, Afilu ha'yisurim. Diksiv uvatim meleim kol tuv asher lo mileisa. Ve'amir Abu Seinu kadle dechaziri ishtiri lehu. So here comes the Ramban. He quotes the Gemara in Chulin that pertains, the Gemara in Chulin, Yudzayin Omen Aleph, that pertains to a pasuk that's going to be described later on at the end of Parshas Vayeschanan. At the end of Parshas Vayeschanan, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conquer these nations, and I'm mamash going to give everything to you, everything you want is going to be delivered to you. Batim Meleim Kol Tuv Ashalomi Leisa. You're going to be given houses filled up with all kinds of goodies, all kinds of delicious and wonderful things that somebody else filled up for you. You didn't do any work. You're going to waltz into Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to hand you over these gingerbread houses that, so to speak, that are filled up with all kinds of goodies, and you'll be able to eat them. So say Chazal, the Gemara in Chulin, this doesn't just mean that you walk into the homes of the Knanim in Eretz Yisrael and they'll have, you know, beautiful pianos and beautiful works of art and you'll be able to take them over. It means you can walk into a non-Jewish home in Eretz Yisrael as you're conquering Eretz Yisrael, and, you know, if they have treifa items in their kitchen, you can eat those treifa items. Kadli de chaziri, even if they have chazir treif in their houses, you're allowed to consume them. Special halacha, batim meleim kol tuv. These houses filled up with everything you're allowed to eat for yourselves. We'll see in a few moments what's the extent of that halacha. But there's certainly some kind of halacha, says the Gemara in Chulin, that when the Jews conquered Eretz Yisrael, they were given a special dispensation. They were able to eat any item that they conquered from the non-Jewish, the Knanim who inhabited Eretz Yisrael, even treif sheba treif, they were allowed to eat. Kadli de chaziri. So says the Ramban, when Klal Yisrael fought against Sichon and Og, that was already the beginning of the Kibush Eretz Yisrael, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So mimela, this din of Kadli de chaziri applied. They were able to eat the treif of food that they found in the houses of the people of the armies of Sichon and Og. So if that's the case, of course they didn't have to kasher the kelim that they got from Sichon and Og. Forget about kashering the kelim. If they had captured the keli and they had a shtik chazer still cooking inside the keli, they'd be allowed to eat the chazer. So if you're allowed to eat the chazer, I certainly don't have to kasher the keli. I certainly don't have to tovel the keli. I don't have to tovel the vessel, you know, that I conquered from these non-Jews. But continues the Ramban, Avo Midyan lo hayom yishelohem. But the Jews were never given any license to conquer the land of the Midyanim. That was not Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That was not part of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, which the Jews were given a mandate to do. Velo lakhu es artsam. Raklin kol nikmasam hargu osam velakhu shlalam. The mandate the Jews had vis-a-vis the Midyanim was just fight against them and avenge what they did to Klal Yisrael. But there was no license to take over the land of the Midyanim. It was not called Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Velachach noag ha'isr b'kleyem. And that's why this prohibition, the Jews still had to worry about treif when they conquered, when they took over the kelim, the pots and pans of the Midyanim. There was no din of kadli de chazire that applied to the Midyanim. So mimela, for the first time, the Jewish people were faced with this situation where they had to kasher and perhaps tovel the kelim that they had conquered from Sichon and from the Midyanim, an issue which did not apply when they had conquered Sichon and Og. Later on, in Parshas Vayeschanan, the Ramban comes back to this issue of Kadli de Chazire, and he discusses what seems to be a very fundamental debate between himself and the Rambam with regard to the application of this din of Kadli de Chazire, that the Jews coming into Eretz Yisrael were allowed to eat treif from the Knaanim that they conquered. And I think we'll see it touches on the essence of what that whole halacha is all about. One looks a little bit later in Parshas Vayeshanan, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud. That's the pasuk where it appears, you know, this idea of Batu Meleim Kol Tov Asher Lo Mileisa. You're coming into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to encounter houses filled up with all kinds of good things that you didn't do yourself, that you didn't fill up yourself. So he says, Valdas Rabu Seinu, Chazal teaches from this pasuk, Yirmoz Od. We are taught, Ki Atova Hu Asher Yimotzei Babotim Hamaleim. Anything good, that's anything desirable in those houses is mutter. You're allowed to make use of it. Afilu hayu shom dvar men ha'asarim batarakhu go kadli d'chazire. Even if you find chazer in these places, or krabim natuim kilayim or orla, and by the way, it extends to other things as well. If you go into the vineyards of the non-Jews, and they have vineyards that are planted with kilayim, or planted with arla, you're allowed to use everything. And as everything that would be usur in any other context is mutter to you under these circumstances. How long did this heter last for? So he quotes, again, reflecting different shitas in the Gemara in Chulin. V'hoyo ha-heter azeh ad sha'ochlu shlal oyeveihem. This heter applied up until the point that they totally conquered and went through the booty of their enemies. So in other words, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, whatever they encountered at that point that still belonged to the Kna'anim, they were able to consume all of that for however long it took them to consume it, even if it lasted a long time. V'yesh omrim b'sheva shekavshu. Others say that this heter of Kadli de Chaziri only applied during the 7 years that the Jewish people were waging war against the Kna'anim. For those, you know, again, we were taught by Chazal that they waged war for 7 years and then they divided up Eretz Yisrael for 7 years. So for those first 7 years, they had heter gomer. They were allowed to eat or make use of any kind of iser that they found among the non-Jewish inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, writes the Ramban, V'cheinira b'gemar perak rishon m'maseches Chulin. That's what it would appear from the Gemara in Chulin, not like the first opinion that he quoted, that it would have extended even beyond the first 7 years, until the shlal ha'oivim, until the booty that they conquered from the Kna'anim would have been used up. Okay. V'harav kosav v'hilchus melachim ilchem oseyim. Says the Ramban, the Rambam writes in Hilchus Melachim as follows. Chalutzei tzava. Any soldiers, mishi konsul bigvul hagoyim, at any point when they enter into enemy territory, v'yashvu mehem, so and they have to settle down in that area, mutter lohem lechol nevelos utreifos ubesar chazir v'chayotze bo. These Jewish soldiers are allowed to eat all the treifa things when they're in enemy territory, im ra'ev. The Rambam qualifies this din with a very, very important idea. Says the Rambam, this din that the Jewish soldiers are allowed to eat any treifa stuff they find in enemy territory is only if they can't find kosher stuff. Right? They go into enemy territory, they're looking around for amendis, and somehow, strangely enough, there's no amendis in Saudi Arabia. If they would have gone to Dubai, they probably would have found. But they went to Saudi Arabia, they couldn't find the Mendes. Okay, so, but the last Breira, they don't have a choice, so they go and they have treifa stuff. In other words, the Rambam holds that this heter for the Jewish soldiers to eat non-kosher food is really sort of a begrudging heter. If you can't find kosher stuff, so then you're allowed to have treifa stuff. Ve'ein ze nachon. Comments the Ramban, I don't think that's correct. Shelo b'shvil pikuach nefesh o ra'avon bilvod huter b'shas milchama. This is not a heter of pikuach nefesh or anything close to pikuach nefesh. You know, the soldiers are in the field, they're going to get weak, they can't find food, the Torah has to allow them to eat food which is going to nourish them, so you know, even if it's treifa food, it's worth it because they have to stay strong. No, that's not the heter of kadli d'chazire. Rather, elala acha shekovshu ha'orim hagedolos v'hatovos v'yoshvu bohen hiter lohem shlal oyeveihem. The Torah gives carte blanche, a heter, says the Ramban, for the Jewish soldiers, davka during those first 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, to eat anything that they want. Even if there is a Mendes there. Some enterprising guy comes into Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua, and he opens up a glatt kosher burger place. Within the Sheva Shanim of Kibush, within the 7 years of conquest, a Jew coming into Eretz Yisrael could walk right by the glatt kosher burger place and go into a McDonald's and eat there. That's the heter of Kali the Chazire, according to the Ramban. Lest anyone just like doze off in the middle of the shiur, this isn't applicable nowadays. You can't go to a McDonald's, right? Nobody should walk away. I don't remember everything the rabbi talked about, but I think he said something about being able to go into a McDonald's, right? That's not, it's only applied according to the Ramban during the 7 years during which they were conquering Eretz Yisrael. Below Chalutzei Tzava, and by the way, as opposed to the Rambam as well, it doesn't apply to any soldiers who were going in to fight a war. It only applies when we're conquering Eretz Yisrael specifically during those 7 years. In other words, the Rambam holds that if the Jews decide to wage war in Saudi Arabia, this din also could theoretically apply. Again, it's a chumra and a kula. The Rambam holds it applies in any kind of war, but it also only applies when you really can't find kosher food. The Ramban holds it applies davka to the 7 years of kibush of Eretz Yisrael, but in that case it applies even if you can't find kosher food. It's heter gamur, it's carte blanche, it's totally mutter in order to eat from the treifa stuff that a special heter that was given to Klal Yisrael. So bringing that back to the Ramban by us, the Ramban by us is saying that the conquest of Sichon and Og was the beginning of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and as such, the din of Kadli de Chaziri applied, and the din of Kadli de Chaziri, that you're allowed to eat any kind of treifa stuff that you find, applies without any reservations whatsoever. According to the Rambam, that the din of Kadli de Chaziri is a begrudging heter, that it only applies when you can't find kosher food, you'd still have a question with regard to the conquest of Sichon and Og. Because, okay, good. Occasionally, the Jews, when they were fighting against Sichon and Og, were allowed to eat treifa stuff if they couldn't find kosher stuff. But if it's a begrudging heter, they should still have to kosher all of the kalim that they acquired from Sichon and Og. I mean, it's a heter that you can only rely upon when there is no other choice. According to the Ramban, that the heter of Kadli de Chaziri is carte blanche. You can do whatever you want. So then we understand why, according to the Ramban specifically, it was mutter to, there was no obligation whatsoever to kasher the kalim of Sichon and Og, that they acquired from Sichon and Og, because it was total heter gomer. I just want to spend a moment trying to understand the hashkafa behind this Ramban. The Rambam, I get. The Rambam is saying that the din of Kadli de Chaziri is a kind of pikuach nefesh, or something close to pikuach nefesh. The soldier's out on the battlefield, he can't find kosher stuff, he's collapsing, he's chalishing. Okay, so the Torah acknowledges that, under the circumstances, he can eat treifa food, it will keep him strong, it will keep him alive. But why on earth, according to the Ramban, when we're conquering Eretz Yisrael, would we have this din that we can walk right by a glatt kosher burger place and go into a McDonald's, lechatchila, and order a cheeseburger? It seems to boggle the mind. I would think Alpi Hashkafa, the ideas behind it, is as follows. And it really comes out from the pasuk a little bit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us the beauty and the attraction of Eretz Yisrael. That's the pasuk. I'm giving you, says Hashem to Klal Yisrael, Batim Meleim Kol Tuv. Houses filled up with every delicious thing. And you know what's included in every delicious thing? Every tarfus that after the 7 years of conquest you'll never be able to eat again. But enjoy it while you got it, because these are special years of conquering Eretz Yisrael. We want you to feel the geschmack of Eretz Yisrael as you come in. And it's so important from the Torah's perspective that we should feel that geschmack, that it's worthwhile for the Torah to say, you can eat a cheeseburger during those 7 years, in order to taste that no stone should be left unturned in terms of the pleasures of Eretz Yisrael that you're able to experience. That seems to be the idea behind the din from the perspective of the Ramban. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll say Kaddish. We'll dive in Ma'ariv. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash.